The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, he's done it. He has the green jacket. Rory McIlroy is the Masters champion, and his win came last night after beating Justin Rose in a nail-biting sudden-death playoff in Augusta. The win means that he has completed a career Grand Slam and achieved his childhood dream. This is the moment it happened.
It's a putt for the Masters. It's a putt for the Grand Slam. And as I say, a second chance for Rory McIlroy. He's finally done it. Masters champion. And after many tears, his talent fulfilled and now unbridled joy.
And it was clear that the crowd realised what a historic moment they were witnessing. Now, Rory putting on the green jacket.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the 2025 Masters champion, Rory McIlroy. And Scotty, I would be grateful if you would please do the honor of placing the green jacket on Rory. Rory, you already wear the green jacket very well. We'd appreciate you making a few comments, if you would.
Thank you, Fred. Oh, my goodness. First of all, I want to thank Chairman Fred Ridley and all the members at Augusta National. This is by far the greatest golf tournament in the world. I'm from a place that I might get criticized for saying that, but I go back to watching this tournament on the weekend with my father when I was 7 and 8 years old, watching Tiger Woods do what he did in 1997. That was my inspiration to try to become what I am today, and to think that I'm up here wearing one of those green jackets is, honestly, it's a dream come true. Like, my dreams have been made today.
And Rory started his post-win press conference with a question for the assembled journalists.
Please share with us your thoughts at this moment.
I'd like to start this press conference with a question myself. What are we all going to talk about next year? it's a dream come true. I've dreamt about that moment for as long as I can remember. I mentioned it out in the prize ceremony, but watching Tiger here in 1997 do what he did and winning his first green jacket, I think that inspired so many of my generation to want to emulate what he did. And there were points in my career where I didn't know if I would have this nice garment over my shoulders, but I didn't make it easy today. I certainly didn't make it easy. I was nervous. It was one of the toughest days I've ever had on the golf course.
And that's just the beginning of the press conference post-win by Rory McIlroy. Joining me on the line is triple major winner Padraig Harrington. Padraig, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. How are you after that roller coaster of a final round on the Masters?
The drama of it, the ups and downs. Like he looked like he'd, like with the start, he doubled the first. It was all going away, and then obviously Bryson didn't play so well, and it looked like it was Rory's again. And yeah, it's very hard in golf. It's one of the hardest things in golf to have a lead. You get defensive, and you know, shots leak and guys coming from behind are always, you know, there's a freedom. Like Justin Rose made 10 birdies. You're not going to make 10 birdies if you're leading the tournament, but if you're coming from behind, you've nothing to lose. So it's a crazy game that we all tend to move to the same score at the end of the day. It was a surprise. Rory had two or three chances just to when he was five ahead. You never saw it coming, I've got to say. The drama and the relief at the end, I suppose, it was it's got to be one of the best watching tournaments ever.
I presume, you know, many people would have been surprised to hear Rory admit that he was nervous, because when we look at you guys, I mean, if I have three or four people waiting for me to tee off and they're looking at me, I'll put it into the bushes, you know. But you expect that professionals, they're, you know, they don't make mistakes like that. And Rory admitted that he was actually very nervous on the first tee.
Oh, look, you get nervous when you're doing anything you want, you know, when it's a certain level of, if you want something bad enough, you're going to get a little bit anxious and nervous. But there's not a little bit, you're going to get a lot. You know, everybody's watching, you know, that the spotlight is on you. It's a natural reaction. I think every player wants to be nervous on a Sunday afternoon because they know they're in with a chance. And it's just, I think handling the nerves can be different at different times. You know, if you're confident in your game, it's pretty easy to handle the nerves. And if you've got something that's slightly awry, you know, it's tough. You can watch even in Rory's game. He drove the ball really well at times, but he was obviously a couple of putts and things like that. He was more nervous on the putts, or didn't handle it as well on the putts, or whichever way you want to look at it. But the nerves are always there. It's just a question of building up a routine and confidence that gets you through it.
Now, you know the way that the pundits were saying that it would be a head-to-head with Bryson DeChambeau on the final day, and Rory didn't want to characterise it in that way. But someone asked Bryson DeChambeau afterwards, what did Rory say to you on the way round? Absolutely nothing. Didn't say a single word to his playing partner.
Yeah, that wouldn't be unusual. Wouldn't be unusual at all. Sometimes he would have a very chatty partners and they could talk away if they were friends. Like myself, I was watching the golf on Saturday, and you know, I was watching Corey Connors, and Corey Connors seems like a fan of Rory's going around the golf course. You know, that's not a great attitude either. There's a big rivalry there between Rory and Bryson in the sense of, you know, Bryson obviously got the better of Rory at the US Open. So I think Rory kept his head down and did his thing. In a golfing etiquette, what you're expected to do is the other guy hits a good shot, you say good shot, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not expected to do any more than that. You talk to your caddy. And remember, look, over the years, and I'm not saying now, but, you know, what players say and do to somebody else can have an effect on them. So it's probably more polite just saying nothing except for, you know, good shot or, you know, the politeness on the way around. But you're certainly not there to have a chat. And by the way, it's different for different people. I like to talk. So I would be trying to, or my caddy would be trying to get me to talk all the way around. Sometimes as I'm playing not necessarily a nice guy, but a talkative guy, I'll talk to him all the way around. And it definitely helps your ability not to overthink things when you've got somebody to talk to. But I wouldn't envisage any conversation between Bryson and Rory going around there yesterday. And as you said, it didn't happen.
Now, to put this in a context for us, only six people have achieved this career Grand Slam. And we're going back to Ben Hogan, Gene Sarazen. People have forgotten about them, maybe, except golfers. Gary Player, less forgotten, I suppose. Jack Nicklaus, still fondly remembered. And Tiger Woods, still playing the game. But it happens.
I'm glad you named them, Pat.
But, you know, it's once in a generation. Sometimes it'll be a couple. I think in the 60s you had Gary Player and Ben Hogan achieving that. But you might be waiting a long time for another person to achieve that career Grand Slam.
Yeah, it's only getting harder. The depth of the fields and the players is deeper now. It's not necessarily that the top players are better, but the depth is definitely better. I think Rory has kind of shown that in the last 15 years, Rory's been the best player overall in the world of golf. But there's been many great players in that period of time, albeit for a year or two, who've surpassed him for that moment. And I think we're going to keep seeing that going forward. Players who get a good run and look like it's going to go on forever. But you have to be a generational talent like Rory to last in the game of golf. You'll see great players going forward, but you'll see less players lasting 15 years. It's just the nature of the game. It wears on you, it burns you out, not just physically, mentally, but you will see great, you know, sparks of great players. Just Rory is exceptional. He is a little different You know, and it's not that other people can't play as good as him for a period of time. He is just a bit special.
Yeah, you remember Jordan Spieth was going to be the next Tiger Woods for a while. Not happening anymore.
Oh, look, I could list every couple of years, whether it's Dustin Johnson, Jordan, Brooks. Brooks is maybe a bit longer, but there's so many names in that category. And like, even this year, it is interesting. Like, Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele, the two best players, the two other best players, both got injured this year. And Rory saw his chance. He was very comfortable in the last go. I had dinner with him there in Houston, and he was just comfortable with himself. You know, he knew he was the best player, and, you know, there wasn't any obstacle in his way bar himself. He wasn't looking over his shoulder. And that takes, you know, that's an important thing when you go play golf. You know, if you're worried about the rest of the field, it can tighten you up. Whereas Rory was very comfortable that he was the best player in the Masters this time around.
Well, he finally achieved his life's ambitions. It won't, I think, make him sit on his laurels. I think he'll go for more, to be quite honest. Padraig, look, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Well, now, Colm Bouygues from Off the Ball is going to look at the rest of the sport, but you look a bit bleary-eyed.
Oh my God, Pat, I stayed up. I was actually lamenting him when he missed the putt at the 18th. I was like, Rory, I have to go to bed. We're up at 5 a.m. for Off the Ball breakfast. But it was, I was so happy that I did stay up, because honestly, Pat, I don't know about you, but after 12 holes, the final round, Rory was 4 shots up, right? And his tee shot at the 13 was fine. So I actually stood off my couch and I was like, I might go to bed.
Yeah.
And then he put it into the water and I sat right back down. And by the end of it, I was on the ground, lying down, nearly in tears myself. What an amazing celebration as well. But
you know, it's a movie.
It is absolutely Hollywood stuff. He's from Hollywood. It is Hollywood. Like yourself and Padraig put it perfectly there. There's very little to add to other than just some amazing statistics around the fact that, like, he's the first Masters champion to have 4 double bogeys.
Yeah.
He's the first European winner of the Grand Slam. He's only the second out of all those 6 who actually completed the Grand Slam at the Masters as well. He had 2 66s in a row on Friday and Saturday. That's only happened 3 other times. And he had 6 consecutive threes on Saturday, which has never happened before. So it was from the sublime to the ridiculous. And we were there every step of the way with Rory McIlroy.
And then the guy who led on Friday, it comes back to haunt him. Justin Rose.
I mean, Justin Rose is remarkable himself at the Masters. He's led on a Thursday, a Friday and a Saturday in Masters history. It's his second Masters playoff. So he lost to Sergio Garcia in 2017. And he's only won one major. He's always thereabouts. Yeah. But it's finally done, Pat. This is 11 years in the making. What happens next is the question for Rory McIlroy. Mm. What does he do now?
Now, let's move on to others. Rory McIlroy, I believe, is a Manchester United fan.
You are right. You are right indeed.
I was hoping that match yesterday wouldn't put him off.
Yeah. Well, he said that the double bogey in the first actually perversely relaxed him, and maybe seeing the Manchester United get hammered again in the Premier League for the 14th time this season. They lost the game up at St. James's Park. They lost by 4-1. They actually equalised in this game, Pat. It's hard to fathom, really. Alejandro Garnacho with a lovely finish, but Newcastle are so, so superior to Manchester United in every way, both in their performance yesterday, their finishing ability, and quite frankly, Pat, their personnel. Just look at their midfield alone. Sandro Tonali, Joelinton, Bruno Guimaraes, so superior to Manuel Ugarte and Christian Eriksen. Come on, I mean, Christian Eriksen was a fabulous player, brilliant with Spurs and Inter, but he is
beyond it.
Leave him off. I mean, leave him alone, kind of thing. And Casemiro coming on, it's all wrong for United.
Now, Liverpool almost blew it. I mean, there was an own goal.
Yeah.
But it was Van Dijk responsible for that. And then Van Dijk scores the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Van Dijk never called it and Andy Robertson went for it. And Robertson did call it and was an own goal and then he gets the winner. And of course, he hasn't signed a new contract. So afterwards, both Van Dijk and Mo Salah, of course, signed a new contract Friday morning. They were both asked about Van Dijk's future and he's coy about it, of course. But you're right. Look, Liverpool are kind of stumbling over the line, but it's thoroughly deserved because they've been so, so dominant for 2/3 of this season. It's a bit like Rory. They're kind of stumbling over the line a bit.
And of course, Arsenal faltered on Saturday. So
1-1 draw with Brentford on Saturday evening. Look, Pat, all they're thinking about is Real Madrid, the second leg at the Bernabeu this coming week. I mean, that's all they're really thinking about now.
The statistical quest for Liverpool is now only 6. What is it?
6 points.
6 points from 6 matches.
It's done. They play Leicester soon as well. You know, like, they're very winnable games. They're home to Spurs. I mean, Spurs are 15th. They're the second highest scorers in the league. Their goal difference is plus 11. and they're only 3 places above the relegation zone. Spurs lost 4-2 at Wolves yesterday. Yeah. All 4 goals were diabolical.
I mean, Spurs and Manchester United would be worried if it weren't for the fact that the bottom three are so poor.
Spot on. Absolutely.
Now, moving to rugby, and we had another emphatic win for Leinster, and Munster's hopes were dashed.
Yeah, let's start with Leinster Friday night at the Aviva Stadium, this time moved from Croke Park. They beat Glasgow Warriors
52-0. People were saying, oh, Glasgow will come all guns blazing.
So was I, Pat. I mean, I was trying to say, because on Off the Ball Breakfast on Friday morning, I was saying to a rugby guest, look at that bench alone. I said it to yourself. It's like that bench alone. There aren't captains on the bench. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And they beat Glasgow 52-0, the reigning URC champions. It's 114-0 they've won in aggregate from their last two rounds in the Champions Cup. The last 16 against Harlequins and the quarterfinal against Glasgow. They'll play Northampton Saints in the semi-final, who themselves hammered Cast 51-16. But look, Leinster, it's a joke, Pat. I mean, you'd argue that Leinster are actually better than Ireland. Because they have Jordy Barrett, R.T. Simon and Slimini. It's remarkable. Munster, on the other hand, a cruel defeat away to Bordeaux Beglin Saturday afternoon, 47-29. Cruel in the fact that they really tried right up until the end. There was only 11 points in it. They nearly scored a try, but Bordeaux were superior.
And the international women's team, it looked good for the first half, and then an avalanche of tries from England.
Yeah, that's a fair description. Yeah, they were, Ireland were very good in the first half in Cork against England, who haven't lost a Six Nations game since 2018. They were 5-0 up at one point, and they scored a try, didn't convert it, although Dan O'Brien out half had a really good game in the first half. But England responded, and the second half they just took it away. They had one try disallowed, one try dropped, and then from there it was a procession. But it was a good first half display by Ireland.
And finally, we had a Grand Prix, which was won by Piastri. It looks like it might be a more open season this year. We won't linger on that because there was some GAA action as well.
Yeah, there was GAA. Yeah. So Dublin, very unconvincing. They beat Wicklow in the Leinster quarter-final. Desi Farrell was very unhappy with Dublin's performance afterwards, the manager. Elsewhere, Meath had an amazing game. They beat Offaly 125-21 points in Leinster too. They were 15 points to 5 down at half-time. So it was a good weekend of GAA overall.
Okay, and I should mention, by the way, that Alex Dunn won the Formula 2 in Bahrain.
Amazing.
We should certainly mention that.
Yep.
Colin Bowie, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.